gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program once again right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today is July the 12th, 2022, and I hope that you are planning on making it a great, great day. Excuse me. One of the first things that we noticed when we came to Merit Assembly of God was they were giving us the tour of the facility, and there was a trash can and right in the middle of a room, and we discovered at that point in time that there was a roof leak, and they were using that 30-gallon trash can to catch the water there, and I guess that's better than it running all over the place. But let me tell you, I wasn't strong enough to lift a 30-gallon trash can full of water, and so we had to get about fixing that, and I don't know what the condition of your roof is, but a roofer that has been a blessing to Merit Assembly of God here over the past few years is Florida First Roofing. Their number is 321-4512. That's 321-4512. And if you are like me and got that notice of non-renewal and you need a new roof because there's nothing wrong with your old roof, but the insurance company says, we don't like your roof, you can call Dave and Juanetta at Florida First Roofing, 321-301-4512. Tell them Pastor Bob from the Refresh Radio program referred you or referred them to you, and that would be greatly appreciated. They do a lot of metal roofs and things like that, so they've done work on our roof at the church. They've done work on my house and other family members as well, other people in the church, and not one single time have we had anybody that came back and said, you know, they did a less than quality job. They've done great work, and so 321-301-4512 for Florida First Roofing. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So we are going to dive in today. We're gonna start a dive. How about that? We're gonna start a dive, we're gonna go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and verse number 19 is where we're going to begin reading. We're just gonna use the beginning of this to set the stage for some things we really want to focus on a little bit later in the passage. But John chapter 20, verse number 19 says this: "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" So that's where we're going to stop for right now. But I want to talk to you a little bit. This is the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to the disciples. And there are several details that are mentioned here. The gathering of the disciples was taking place in the evening. It was taking place on the first day of the week, and those are just some timing details there that give you a little bit of an idea of what was going on. It describes the situation in which they were assembled together. And that was the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. In other words, this is not an open meeting. This is a closed meeting. And the next few words tell us that it was not a gathering of faith, but it was a gathering of fear, for fear of the Jews. They had gathered themselves in one place. They had shut the doors. They had locked the doors. They had limited access. They wanted to keep anybody out that wasn't supposed to be in there. And they were doing that because they were afraid. And fear can motivate you to not do some things, but I know that there are some healthy aspects of fear, you know, like if you have a healthy fear of electricity, you know, it makes sure that you behave yourself in a proper manner around the distribution point of electricity. I worked in it was kind of like a small scale Walmart way back in the day, and before Walmarts were super centers and things like that. And one of the things that I was charged with in that store was mopping up floors and liquids and things like that. If they had a roof leak and hadn't called Florida First Roofing, then I had to go. And that's a joke. Florida First Roofing wasn't around at that point in time. Dave is younger than I am. But they had this machine, and I remember using that machine, and all of a sudden I went and got this jolt of electricity that went through my body. And it's like, whoa, let's not do that again. So there is wisdom, a wisdom type of fear that says we got to be very careful with this over here. It could be catastrophic if we mishandle that. So I was talking with one of my daughters here, and she does a lot of children's ministry in her church. And she was talking about how God had spoken to her about the story of David and the ark, and the ark being sent to the house of Obed-Edom. And, you know, Uzzah had reached out his hand and touched the ark, and he hadn't done it irreverently. But he had done it disobediently. You weren't supposed to touch the ark. They had access points on the sides of the ark where you could stick a pole through there. No one ever touched the ark. And Uzzah died. We have that type. This is not a healthy fear. This is a paralyzing fear that's described here in John chapter 20 when the disciples are gathered. They are afraid. They are afraid that the Jews, the religious leadership of that day, were going to do to them what they had just witnessed them do to Jesus a few days earlier. And, you know, that could be a logical conclusion. Because, you know, when we would call that in today's time guilt by association. And so if they did that to the leader, what would prevent that from doing that to the followers? But they were gathered there, and all of a sudden, the disciples' greatest fear that somebody would come into the room where they were gathered to be safe and huddled together, somebody did enter the room. But it wasn't somebody to be afraid of. It was somebody to be embraced. Jesus came and stood in the midst. They had heard about Mary Magdalene's encounter. They had heard the Gospel of Luke tells us that they had heard about the men on the road to Emmaus who had had an encounter with Jesus. They had heard these reports, but they were still gathered in fear. And then Jesus stood in the midst of them and came and declared peace. So the first thing that I would share with you today is Jesus knows exactly where you are spiritually, where you are relationally, where you are with problems or challenges. He knows where you're at geographically. He knows where you are at as far as your timeline, how old you are and how much longer you've got to live. He knows all of those details. And every time that Jesus comes into your life, he comes in as the Prince of Peace, and he brings the same thing to you that he brought to the disciples, and that is the peace, the shalom, the salvation and the soundness in body, soul, and spirit, mind, will, and emotions. every aspect of your life. He comes and he says, look, you don't need this fear here. I'm going to give you peace that will calm your fears. Jesus had a way of having to do that for the disciples. They were afraid of the storm. They were afraid of the storm again. And each time Jesus would come in and he would remind them peace. He would speak peace to the storm. He would speak peace to them. And he comes and he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. When you go to thank God tonight or throughout the day, would you stop for just a moment and thank him for supernatural peace? Because we could all get wrapped up in our fears. Our irrational fear can get you in a loop, if you will, where you just cycle from one fear to another fear to another fear, and you just keep going through that cycle all over again. And no matter what you hear or anything like that, you just keep repeating the cycle over and over and over again. God comes and gives you peace and breaks that cycle of fear. I believe that peace is a gift from God that is meant to be on display and in use in every believer's life. Jesus said, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. There are some critics of the crucifixion that don't believe that Jesus was dead. I was reading through one of the Gospels here recently, and it said that Pilate inquired of the centurion to make sure about Jesus to make sure that he had been dead and had been dead for quite some time. It wasn't the Joseph's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. It was not an atmosphere that was conducive to a bounce back, if you will, physically. It was more debilitating. Life can be very fragile. I know that we see movies, people get shot 400 times and they still got enough strength to wander up a hill and call for help and all that. I have not found that is a realistic depiction of life. And so what the disciples saw, what the centurion confirmed, what they saw as they placed his body in the tomb was not a body that was going to bounce back on its own, but instead it was a crucified body. I've heard people describe the horrific nature of the beating Jesus took on the way to the cross, and many people have said he had suffered so extensively before he got to the cross that he could have died on the journey there. That wasn't God's plan. So when Jesus shows them his hands and his side, he shows that not only was he the same guy that hung on the cross, but he was also the same guy that they had killed by thrusting a spear in his side and puncturing his heart and the sack around his heart. So there was no doubt that he was dead, and the fact that Jesus stood before them now declaring peace to them, where the last time that they saw him, he was in a very defeated condition, now he's appearing to them in a very victorious atmosphere. And when they hear him and they see the things that Jesus wanted them to see, it said that they not only transitioned from fear to peace, but they also transitioned from fear to gladness. Okay? I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know if you feel... feel like you are shut up and isolated. We went through that to a large extent as a nation a couple of years ago with the COVID outbreak. That was the spring that I lost my mother. That left my father alone for the first time in his adult life for a long, long time. And my sister, who was closest to him to be able to care for him, she ended up getting sick. The church that they had was shut down and only did a live stream only service. He was all by himself. And then he started having some health issues. And my brother called him up and asked him to go golfing. And golfing changed. During COVID, you couldn't grab the flagstick out of the hole. You know, if you hit the pin, it was considered, you know, a made shot, whether it stayed in the hole or not. And so my brother took my dad golfing, and it caused him to bounce back. He got to be around family. He got to be around some people, and he had fun. His body began to recover, and I'm glad to say that he's doing amazingly well, because there, you know, I told my brother and sister, said, either Dad is going to die very quickly of a broken heart, or he's going to live to be 100. I'm thinking it's going to be more the latter than it is the young or the other. I think, you know, he could very well follow in his mother's footsteps and live to be over 100 years old. God can take the things that you are the most heartbroken about, the most fearful of, and the presence of Jesus can come in, and he can say, look, I'm just not somebody that's here hanging around. I am the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. I'm here to manifest myself to you so that you do not live your life in fear. You live your life with joy, and you live your life with peace. So there's another thing that Jesus says is in verse number 21 is where it starts. He said, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So not only did Jesus come to take away the fear and bring to them the peace and bring to them joy, but he also came to give them purpose. He gave them mission. He gave them an assignment. He said, as the Father hath sent me, I also send you. So if you remember the Roman centurion that was given the title of, you know, having great faith, he said, I say to this, I am a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes. And the authority that the man was under was what caused that centurion to go and say to this one, look, I need you to go. Jesus said, the Father has sent me. I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Verse number 22 says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember, in John chapter 7, we said that to those that believe, they would receive the Holy Spirit after Jesus glorified. Jesus is glorified right here. And he says to them, not only do I want you to be free from fear, I want you to have peace, I want you to have gladness, I want you to have purpose, I also want you to have God the Holy Spirit inside of you. I want you to have God the Holy Spirit living inside of you. God never gives gag gifts. God never gives meaningless gifts. He always gives essential gifts. And so here he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, very interesting in verse number 23. It says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, I'm not going to pretend to have all of the biblical knowledge about how we could deal with that particular verse. I don't have all biblical knowledge on how to deal with any particular verse. I thought I did one time. I had preached a sermon series. I had done a sermon series study over and over and over again. I had looked at it. I had done a deep dive and all of that. And God said, you need to revisit that. You missed something. And being the mature Christian that I am, said, did not. And he said, go back and look at it again. You missed something. And so I went back and I restudied everything. And would you believe I had missed something? And I will tell you, God's never wrong. God is never, ever wrong. And so when he tells us that the disciples needed to be delivered from their fears and they needed the peace of God in their heart and they need gladness in their life, the joy of the Lord, and they needed purpose, but in order to accomplish that purpose, they also needed the Holy Spirit. He says, after receive the Holy Spirit, he says, if you forgive sins, they're forgiven. If you retain sins, they are retained. Here's the one thing that I would say. And that is, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, unlike our pre-salvation state where we are inclined against God, the Holy Spirit comes and realigns us and repositions us to where we are now inclined to do the will of God, to do things God's way. And God's way is a way of forgiveness. If you remember, all of this study started way back in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is what we're going through, and we're pretty much at the end of Matthew chapter 6. We're on the seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But before that, we had talked about the Lord's Prayer, and after that, it says, if you do not forgive sins, your sins will not be forgiven. So the Holy Spirit, as we are on mission, as we're fulfilling our purpose, will remind us that we are not only forgiven, but we are forgiven to enable us to be forgiven, forgiving. So, in the New Testament, it says, comfort with the comfort that you have received. May the God of all comfort, you know, enable you to comfort those with the comfort that you have received. And that's the same thing with the forgiveness that we have received. So, I believe that as the Holy Spirit begins to take deeper and deeper roots and penetrate into more areas of our lives, that we are going to find ourselves motivated to forgive people on a regular basis. Okay? Now, I will tell you this. Forgiveness is a spiritual gift from God. Forgiveness is a spiritual gift from God. So not only are we forgiven because of faith, but we need to forgive in faith. You say, well, what? I don't know if I can do that. You don't know what they did to me. I don't know what they did to you, but I know that what we've done to Jesus was far worse than what most people have ever done to us. And Jesus forgave us. He forgave me. And so I want to be forgiving. I want to be forgiving, and I want to forgive, Jesus said, from the heart. I want to forgive from my innermost being, and so I want to forgive by faith before my intellect even kicks in. I want to forgive by faith before my emotions have have had their say in them. I want to forgive and say, we are going to forgive. We are going to forgive because Jesus wants us to forgive, and therefore we want to forgive them. And so I'm not going to let my emotions, I'm not going to let my intellect rob me or force me into disobeying what Jesus said. So I am going to forgive them by faith. Now, here's the thing that I recommend. And that is, once you have forgiven a person, anytime that situation comes to mind, rather than reaching down and pulling off the spiritual scab and exposing the wound and making it fresh all over again, I want you to say, God, I am so thankful that you forgave me. I am so thankful that you have empowered me to be able to forgive this person. And God, I pray that you would bless them. Bless them in their coming and their going. Lord, bless them with the gift of repentance. Lord, I want to thank you that your grace is sufficient. And Lord, I want to thank you because you're going to help me to be victorious over this. And we're going to see a reconciled relationship at some point in time, because that's who you are. You are the God who reconciles the body of Christ. And so make good choices today. Don't choose to live in fear. Choose to live in Jesus with his peace. Don't just isolate yourself. Surround yourself with believers of like faith. Experience the joy of the Lord. Walk in that joy. I saw a quote that somebody had criticized Charles Spurgeon one time, who was known as the Prince of Preachers, I believe was the title that they had given to him. And they criticized him because they said, you use too much humor in your sermons. And he said, if you just knew how much I was restraining myself, you would commend me rather than criticize me. And I pray that the joy of the Lord is something that radiates out from you. It's not going to be contrived. It's not going to have to be forced. It's going to be natural. The joy of the Lord. You also have purpose. Fulfill that purpose and do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we're going to see a whole lot of people forgiven in Jesus' name. Have a great day and a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Same, you never change, no, never.